Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. And before Little House on the Prairie, she had roles in The Waltons, Mannix, and on the CBS Afternoon Playhouse. Us Little House on the Prairie fans know her best as Alice Garvey. Please welcome to the show, Hersha Paraday. How are you doing, Hersha?
I'm doing great, Mark. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
You're a birthday girl. I noticed that you just celebrated a birthday.
I did, a nice large one, a long one, but I just turned, I turned 74, but like I say, I still feel like a 12-year-old, unfortunately, but I thought I was very wise at 12, so there you go. The older I get, the more I realize, not so much.
Yeah, you're only as young as you feel, so... No, I'm 100%.
This is surreal.
I'm very lucky. I feel very. I've always felt young and full of spit and vinegar, and I still am. Knockwood. So
this is so surreal. I feel like I'm sitting on your porch in Walnut Grove, and I'm talking with Alice Garvey, and Jonathan's in the living room wondering where his moose head is. This is so great.
Well, that's funny you mentioned the front porch, because that's some of my, a couple of my fondest memories were the things that were shot on the front porch there.
Really?
Because they were on location in Simi.
Right.
And they were exteriors. So we did like the newspaper one where Harriet's house.
Yes.
I guess, and then the other one, one of my favorites was the first one where we were getting divorced.
Right.
Yes.
When we're getting divorced and when he comes back, and one of the best shots that I like is when he comes back and I say, "Are you back?" And he says, "No, I'm not back," and blah, blah. But anyway, the scenes were shot on that front porch. And when you mentioned that, I just went immediately back to really enjoying those scenes.
Wow.
Nice. I always enjoyed working outside anyway. I mean, I love to work outside. So
that's awesome. You know, I was just kind of curious. Have you always wanted to be an actress? Is this something that you said you were a very wise 12-year-old? Is this something that you foresaw for yourself?
Well, I always did that. In fact, I was just people have been pestering me since I was a child, and I kept a diary as a child to write. And I just can't begin because I have so much I want to write about or to share, and I can't. But I started out. Instead of playing dolls, doing basically two things. I was either on my bike riding down streets I wasn't supposed to go down and going farther away, always on my own in the woods. But in Ohio, being raised in Ohio, when I couldn't do that, I was in my basement pretending since
right.
I was a child.
Wow.
As soon as I could walk, I was downstairs in my basement being a movie star, being a damsel
wow.
in distress. So I always did that. I mean, Donald, I could care less about it.
You're one of these people that's kind of really comfortable with yourself. You know, you're kind of...
Oh, yeah. I am. I've been very lucky that mm-hmm. way. And the older they get, the more you look at why people are the way they are. And,
absolutely. Why do I have the feeling... I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What is this? No, go ahead.
I was saying, why do I have the feeling that your mother had her hands full with you?
Oh, gee, I wonder why you'd have that feeling. I'm the oldest, and yes, and the older I get, and the other thing, I refer to myself as I was just lately, because of my birthdays and that, I was spoiled. I was spoiled rotten by my mother and my grandmother, and I was terribly spoiled. And I was full because I never did what I was told. My mother always said that I put my grandparents in their grave because I left high school and went immediately to the Cleveland Playhouse into an apartment during the 1960s in the ghetto. And I was living by myself. And it was dangerous. And my grandparents, really, particularly my grandfather, was very, very, very worried about me because I'm always cautious, but I'm always out at 2-3 in Manhattan, in India, in third world countries, and this, you know, always by myself and always just doing it. But I've been very, 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 very fortunate, and I'm always alert.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I always climb the mountain. When my mother was shouting, "No, no, no, no," and I kept going. So yeah, I did. I wasn't easy.
Now you mentioned,
but I have to say, I was very, very, very lucky.
You mentioned third world countries. Have you traveled a lot outside of?
Yeah,
you
know, I traveled a lot, mainly after I stopped working a lot, as happens when in different decades are different, but. Sure enough, as I turned 40, I wasn't working that much. I was off of a little house, and the roles and the work were not coming. And then I met my husband, who was a British producer, Oscar winner producer, and
had a tremendous career.
Traveled around. I lived in India, and I went to, I went to India, I went to Thailand, I went to Africa.
Wow.
A lot with his projects. So it was, I lived in India for almost a year. We were there for a year and I just loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, India is, I have not gotten to India, but my taste of third world countries was I traveled in Nepal at a certain point. And I hated it. I really hated it.
You hated it?
And the people hated me.
How long ago was that, Mark?
This was a really long time ago. We're talking 20 years ago. More.
Oh, well, I was there more than 20 years ago, and things were gotten worse since I was there. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but it's eye-opening.
Glad I stayed in Texas.
But it's very eye-opening to learn.
Citizens of us Yankees, Texas is a third world country.
That's true. You are so funny. That's what I keep telling Mark, that people just don't really hook into that quote unquote Republic of Texas. It is a country unto itself. It really is.
And
most people don't get that. Well, so I'm really curious because I did a lot of digging, but could never find an explanation. Where did the name Hersha Parody come from?
Oh, you know, I'll try to make it a quick story, but of all the stories that I have told I've told this story a lot, but not regarding Little House people. I stopped acting for only 3 years in my life, and that was when I was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for 3 years. And when I first got there, I was on a motorbike, on a dirt bike, in the middle of the desert, right outside of Taos, and it was 360 degrees of every weather imaginable. I had a bikini on, but I had jeans over that, and I had a leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And it was raining, it was snowing, it was hailing, it was warm enough to wear a bikini. It was just, for me, it was heaven. I was just in heaven. And on a bike, a motorbike to begin with, which is, I'm a crazy biker. And
do you still ride a bike?
On the way home, on the way back to Santa Fe, it was just the perfect, perfect day, which I've had, lucky, so many of them. And on the way back in the car, who I was with had a Hershey candy bar on the dashboard. And I had just gotten to Santa Fe. I was only been there for maybe a few months, a couple of months. And I saw this H-E-R-S-H-E-Y, Hershey. I wasn't eating the candy. I'm not a candy eater much. but I loved that word Hershey. And I looked at my friend and I said, okay, that's my name from now on. Nobody, there's only one other one person in Santa Fe that knew me as Betty. So I changed Betty to Hershey. And when I got to L.A. a couple years later, my agent said, you know, you're never going to work until you're older, and Hershey just doesn't work, so let's change it to Hershey. Because a guy that I worked with, he had a very, very, very well-known restaurant in L.A., and he hired a lot of out-of-work, up-and-coming actresses for cashier hostess. And he'd always, he was Italian, and he always called me Hershey. Hershey. So I told my agent that. He said, okay, from now on, you're Hershey. So Equity, which is the theatrical agent union, still has me as Hershey, but everyone else has called me Hershey for a long time.
Wow.
And that's how I got Hershey from Hershey.
And I know in Mannix, you're credited as Hershey, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I'm looking at a a poster now that I did. I did Streetcar Named Desire with John Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
And they have me as Hershey, too.
Wow.
Anything theatrical. But when I first got to town, it was Hershey. Because Mannix, actually, that was just a gift. Because the guy that I followed out to Hollywood, which got me started in acting again. That's not a funny story, but it's a story I like to tell. When I was in Santa Fe, as I said, I stopped working as an actress, and I was working as a in the hotel business, which I loved. I did everything at the front desk. And in Santa Fe, at this point, I was at the Ramada Inn, and they do a lot of shooting there. They mm-hmm. did, you know, they have for years and years and years and years. Well, there was this one director, beautiful, beautiful Swede. In fact, he directed a lot of Gunsmoke, but then he directed Little House too. He came. I immediately fell in love with the man because he was so beautiful, and he was a Bergman actor, a Swedish actor, very internationally known. And I never said any words to him or anything. But one day, when I was behind the desk, he walked up to me, and he just looked at me and he said, "Have you ever done any acting?" I couldn't even answer him. I immediately broke down into tears and sobbed and went in the back room and cried and cried and cried because I knew eventually I would go back to acting. But to have this man come up and say that, I said, okay, well, it's shot, you know.
Right.
Goodbye, Santa Fe.
Goodbye. Right. You needed to follow the sign, yeah.
So actually, he was the first one to catch me in something that they shot in Santa Fe. And then when I got here to get my SAG card, he was shooting a Mannix. He was directing a Mannix. And he just gave me that little tiny, you know, five-line part, nothing. And that's why I was still Hershey. At that point, I hadn't gotten the new name.
You mentioned you're into motorcycles. Do you still ride motorcycles?
Oh, no, I have. I wish we were on Skype because I have a photograph of myself. It's probably online somewhere. I don't know if I dare put it on a Little House site. But it's the photograph that was taken of me in my first film that I did. I was 18 years old. And it's me standing in a pair of jeans, one leg hooked over the seat of a BMW bike. And then I have a bikini top.
Right.
And my hair's long and I have this look on to kill for. Anyway, to make a long story short, I think that may have been the first motorbike I ever rode on, but that was it. And since then, I've ridden on the back of many, many, many motorbikes, but I also rode dirt bikes in the desert in L.A. when I was here 35 years ago.
Wow.
Whole new episode of Little House. Alice Garvey, biker chick.
Oh, I know. Well, and I tell you, if there's a, you know what, I'm not on the site. I'm not on the Little House site, but I really should put that, because that would be fun. They would get a kick out of it, I think.
I know, definitely they would.
Characters, I think if there was any character on Little House on the Prairie that would have been a biker chick, it would have been Alice, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely the rebel.
Not Miss Beetle.
Yes. Oh. Well, maybe the real Charlotte Stewart, but not Miss Beetle.
Right.
Well, no, Charlotte, the real Charlotte Stewart, I'm not sure she is on bike, but the real Charlotte is a good time, believe me. She can be a good time. Maybe not on the back of the bike.
Oh, her book was amazing. Do you ever have any plans? I know you were talking earlier about writing, but have you ever really seriously thought about doing a book?
Yes. And just writing. But I, like I said, I don't know where every day. In fact, every day I start. But there's so many things I want to write. I'm the kind of person that goes through dialogue all day long in my head. Right. And I want to write about that. And whether I ever start, I don't know. I may never do it. I mean, you know, I had my palm read when I was 18, 19. And the first thing she said, and I've been told since that, you've got to be a writer. You're a writer. I said, yeah.
You mentioned the film that you did when you were 18. Was that Spring Night, Summer Night?
Yes. The funny thing is, why the heck do you even know? Because I didn't even know that. I didn't remember the name.
I know the film for years.
Oh, well, then you know what? Yeah, did you see, you can actually, and there's another great still that I've used from it, of me on the back of the motorbike with an ice cream cone. Did you see that by any chance?
I haven't seen the still, but I know the scene. And you're wearing a very revealing outfit in the shots.
Yeah.
I mean it's the point of the entire film. It, you know, it really represents the culture and the plot of the film.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoyed the film. You know, it's like probably a student film that's 10 times better. You know, it has professional quality.
Basically, that's exactly what it was, Mark. It was a student film. I was at Ohio University. Mm-hmm. And the head of the film department made the film, but then it went on to do very well. It got a couple prizes at Reader's Digest and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it did the festival thing. But
and it's still out there.
Yeah.
And you're the Betty Ann parody in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so. I wouldn't have been, because when I made that, I was Betty Ann Sandhoff. Now, if I'm credited as Betty Ann Parody, that's because they gave it to me a good year, 2.5 years after, because what happened when I made that film, the boy who played my boyfriend in the film was Ron Parody, and I ended up marrying him about a year later.
Wow.
But we didn't even know each other until we made the film. So
wow, that's really kind of cool.
It is. Yeah, and he was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actor. He actually died while he was working on Broadway. He passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was a beautiful, beautiful man and a wonderful, great actor.
There's a big story that kind of floats around, and I just wanted to know if there's any truth to it, and that's You befriended Scotty McGregor because you were both kind of taking care of, I guess, a neighborhood dog. Like, you both, looking out for, I wouldn't say a stray. Didn't come off as, like, a stray. Yeah, like.
No, it wasn't a stray, actually. It did actually belong to someone, but it belonged to the whole West Hollywood neighborhood.
It's like, here's the rest of my burger, Lightning, that type of thing. And I was wondering, well, two things. I wanted to know whatever happened to Lightning. And, also is that true? I mean, did you both just kind of meet because you were both in the same neighborhood and you kind of were brought together by this dog?
And the real owner of Lightning, Seymour Cassell, who was a John Cassavetes, actor who was in all John's films. And he was a lovely actor. He lived north of Sunset Boulevard. I lived almost directly below him on the south side of Sunset Boulevard, and Scotty lived south of Sunset Boulevard and east of me. Seymour just died, actually.
He's a very big character actor. He was in, yes, he's the type of guy you can turn on a movie and he'll just kind of pop up. You know, he's in literally every movie you've ever seen.
Right, yeah. He worked a lot. And I had to actually go up and knock on his door one day and ask him about what am I supposed to do with his dog? Because the last 3-4 years of Lightning's life basically lived with me. He never went to Scotty or never went anywhere. He was my dog. He was with me for years. But how we met was that after another sublime Christmas holiday in Ohio, I got off the plane and I was at a restaurant and there was a sign right outside the restaurant that said puppies for sale. And I went there and there was this puppy for $10 that I got. And I named it Christmas because it was a Christmas and it was a beautiful, beautiful Christmas I had with my family in Ohio. And I'm back in LA with this dog named Christmas. Well, to make a long story short, when Christmas started looking good and prancing around, Lightning, who lived way above Sunset Boulevard, but would cross Sunset Boulevard, and at that time over to Scotty's house, which was a good 2 miles away, maybe. But he got to sniffing around my dog, and at that time I was working until sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'd come home and I wanted to take my dog out for a walk and I couldn't because Lightning kept trying to get to my dog.
Oh, yeah, I have a dog like
this
that.
This was very, 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 very bad. This Lightning, who was never fixed, was trying to get to my dog. So I couldn't take her out. So one day I finally got home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to put my dog, put Christmas into my little black Volkswagen, which was the first car I've ever owned, Bug.
And good. I'm restoring a bug.
I'm gonna put her in the car to take her away from this dog that won't let my dog alone. So I'm at the stop sign. Christmas is next to me. Lightning jumps through the window, driving the car to get.
Oh my god!
Oh my! Oh wow!
He actually jumped through the window to get to my dog.
That's
so
crazy.
So anyway, I looked at her collar. I looked at his collar, and then the collar had Scotty's name on it because Scotty had been taking this dog to the vet.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't know if she knew it was Seymour's dog or what. But anyway, to make a long story short, I finally found who Scotty was, and I met her, and I said, "What are we going to do about this dog?" She finally had the dog fixed.
Thank God.
Did not make Seymour happy at all. He was very upset about it. But
oh my
dog,
God.
So anyway, that's how we all got to know each other. And unfortunately, Lightning, which was kind of ironic, he was not doing well. And was it 4th of July or I'm not sure. I think it was the 4th of July. He was nervous. He had a bad heart. He had a bad ticker because he was really a dog that ate whatever. He ran around West Hollywood on his own all the time. So I'm sure he wasn't the healthiest of dogs growing up. And he was in the vet and he actually died when he was in the vet.
Oh no.
To be honest with you, I keep saying it was a storm and lightning, but it wasn't. I think it was the 4th of July and it was the sound. He just couldn't. It was the firecracker going off.
Oh yeah, might really, really scared him. Yeah.
And that's what the vet said. It was just the firecrackers going off that got to him. So he passed away. So he was a great dog. Everybody knew him. And neither one of my dogs were ever on leashes, ever, ever, ever. And now, of course, you can't do that anymore in Hollywood. There's no way you can't do that. But mine were never off leashes, and they were trained to be off leashes. Well, Lightning wasn't. But anyway, so there you go. That's that story.
So that's so you meet Scotty McGregor this way, and then I guess, you become friends.
What happened was I'm trying to figure out how this all happened. I can't remember.
Well, I can tell you the story I learned.
The thing is that I knew Dick Bull because Dick Bull and I worked in the same theater.
Okay.
We we actually did a play together. Those two were already on Little House working. And when I got tasked in another theater to play Shakespeare's wife, and I knew Scotty at that point, and Dick Bull, they both came to see me in, you know, this story, which is just, this is really how I got cast.
Yeah, this sounds like whatever.
Yeah. You know, whenever an actor gets cast, everybody says, oh, I discovered her. Oh, I got her. I got her this job.
Right,
I got
of course.
Job. And I always said, no, it was lightning that got me the job. You know, that was it. And they both came to see me in the play, and they eventually got back to Sukman, who was the casting director for Little House, and said, you got to see this lady because she'd be right for the show.
Excellent.
And so that's how I got that.
You know, one of the questions I always ask the cast members from Little House on the Prairie is, and you kind of answered it in your last, what you were talking about, but I'm always curious, when you went to the auditions, or when you first went to the studio, what kind of car did you drive? And clearly you had a Volkswagen Beetle, right?
That's funny that's such an interesting question, Mark.
And I'm always curious what you drove at the end. I always want to know what you had when you ended.
Did you upgrade?
the same thing I'm driving today. I am the Volkswagen girl.
Okay.
I mean, I could have had times when I could have gotten, you know, a lot of other things. But I'm a Volkswagen girl. I had that little black bug. I think it was like a 62 or 63 early one. And
okay.
It was stolen three times.
Oh, my gosh.
So, it was stolen three times, so finally I lost my insurance company because they said, we can't do it anymore.
Yeah, enough.
Wow.
And the last time, I got it back two times. The last time they said, listen, there's not the shell. Because in those days, they used them. They don't do it anymore, but they used them for dune buggies.
Yeah, I used to own a dune buggy.
Out and made dune buggies out of them. But now they don't do that anymore. So after that, Merlin Olsen, who had interest in a car dealership, helped me get another bug, but it was a Super Beetle convertible, an orange
nice.
One.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, I love those. I love those.
I know. They're in more films, I think, than any other car, this orange convertible Beetle, Super Beetle.
Mm.
And I love that. That I took with me. I drove up and down the coast because I did a lot of theater in Seattle.
Oh, that's interesting.
Too.
So, you know, I'm restoring a 1971 Super Beetle right now, and this is my 12th one. My first car was a Beetle, and I bought so many
You're
of them.
Kidding.
And I even had a 65 dune buggy at some point. So,
but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. I love these cars. They're wonderful. And the 63 was a 6 volt car. So it, you know, you probably ran into it 100 times where it just wouldn't start for no reason.
Mark,
you push
it. Tell you this because my car, went back and forth to Santa Fe a couple times after I got into LA, and I drove my black and white, you know, old thing, and on the way back, it broke down. They had to rebuild the engine, so they upped the power.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't get over it. I had this old Beetle, and I beat everybody up the hills and the mountains in California. Yes,
that was back in the day when you could work on cars when they weren't loaded with computer chip this and computer chip that.
I know.
You could just pop the hood and tinker, and man, you can't do that anymore.
But,
I had to push start my car so many times.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Right.
Me too. And it doesn't take much to get it started. But, you know, Dean Butler actually drove a Beetle to his audition. But he drove, at the end, he had a BMW. He definitely came.
Of course. Yes. Dean Wood. I'm still driving a Volkswagen.
But not the Beetle. Do you still have a Beetle?
Beetle
okay.
No, I wish I had. I wish I had the Beetle convertible. But I had to buy a car when I was living in Florida to get me across. I drove this. It's 19. It looks brand new. Everyone says, oh, my God, it's new. And I said, no, it's not. I just take good care of it. And it's an 08, is it? Yeah, it's an 08 Rabbit. But it's basically a Golf. But in those days, they that year it was a rabbit. And
I know those cars. Those are great cars.
Six shift, yeah. And I could pile it high. I could fill it up, and it drove all the way from Central Florida to Ohio to L.A.
Y'all need to go on a road trip together.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do a lot of cross. You do a lot of cross country stuff. Like, do you still go on road trips?
I don't go on. Well, I don't go on. I love. I'm a real road trip person. By myself. And I don't. I've been back and forth between Denver and L.A. many times, Santa Fe and L.A. a couple of times. I go up and down the coast to Santa Barbara and then back down to San Diego often.
That's a nice drive.
And yeah. I never go away once. You know, I mean more than once. I always try to take different routes, and I always go off the road. So it's usually when there's a little house gathering coming up. You know, in Walnut Grove very soon.
Sure.
Next month.
Yes.
Exactly, a week away, and it's hard for me to go to places like that without renting a car. But this particular little gathering is always very, very busy. The event is it's a wonderful event, and they work you to death, and so it's you don't really have time to go off and sightsee. But usually, when I go, I rent a car and just go and, you know, get off into the mountains or wherever the heck they are, someplace to see. So I do love traveling a lot.
And you are going to that reunion this year, right?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
I am. I wasn't going to, and to be honest with you, I was afraid it wasn't going to happen. Then all of a sudden I heard it was happening. So I was the one that approached. I said, Amy, why aren't I coming to this? She said, well, of course.
You know, I actually interviewed Amy. I interviewed Amy. It just got released. Well, actually, it will be released this Wednesday. But I spoke to her in the winter about all of this. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a month away. I have to get it out there. So it's coming out this week. And she's so nice. She's like really such a nice person.
Yes, she is. And they've got it very organized. They do. The museum is beautiful. You know, it's a lovely event. The last time we were there, of course, that was the 40th. It was a big reunion, big event, and it was just jam packed, absolutely packed.
Oh, it's on my bucket list. I'm not going to be able to go this year, but at some point before I hit a wheelchair, I'm going to go.
I was trying to go, but I'll be actually camping out with the Boy Scouts with my son. Unfortunately,
you're camping out with a Boy Scout, did you say?
Yeah, I have a son. I'm not a weirdo. And
Mark.
No, so
Mark.
I'm a Boy Scout leader. So basically,
good for you.
Yeah. So we're gonna be camping out for an entire week outdoors and just living in a tent like savages.
Now,
so
where do you camp out?
It's about 3 hours north of Long Island in Onteora.
Is it flat or is it in the hills or?
It's a little bit in the hills. You know, it's not super far upstate New York. It's, you know, it's not the Rockies, but it is. It's real camping out, and it's
good.
Like summer camp for Boy Scouts. You know, they go and they do paddle boating and climbing and all that kind of stuff.
Fun.
Yeah, it will be a lot of fun. So unfortunately, I have to miss the Little House on the Prairie reunion, but next year.
Yeah, that's next what year. I'm planning next year. Okay,
you guys get one together.
Bring us to
Long Island.
That's not a bad idea. You know, out in the Hamptons or something.
The Hamptons, a Little House. Okay,
there you go. Hey, you've got all these wonderful ideas, Susan. Come on, let's do it.
There we go. Well, I'm chomping at the bit to ask a Little House question. So how does it feel being the woman that gave children and maybe adults nightmares forever by pushing babies through windows? That is just like, I know it was your elbows. I know it was your elbows. But it just that is the most horrific and most... It was so well done that it's just one of those moments that just stays with you. I mean, I'm 57, and it's just like I rarely pull out my DVD collection to watch that episode because I just can't take it. It was just so realistic.
Boy, they got a lot of letters about that. People were very upset. And it's like you said, it wasn't just the children. It was the adults saying, what? What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It was so realistic. It was just,
Yeah, it's like, I mean, she's not getting out of there, is she? Like, she's going to stay up there, isn't she?
Right.
No.
We haven't even done that one on the podcast yet. I don't know if we'll ever do it, because it's like, what do you say? It's just kind of like, oh, well, then Alice dies. And
well, move, just, yeah. They could live without Alice, but when the baby died, too, I mean, I can't believe that I could have at least saved the baby, for crying out loud.
Yeah, throw him. I don't know.
Was your contract up, or did they just write that story and say, hey?
And I have to tell you a funny story before I'll tell you about the contract. Is that baby, I started doing it a couple of years ago on these events. I have a real live baby doll that was actually used in a play. It's a doll, but it's one of the ones that look real too real. That's really scary looking. It looks so real. It
has the little rolls of fat.
Whenever I go to these events, I come on the stage just laugh. If I swing my arms, I'm doing them as a battering ram. And I will be taking that with me to Walnut Grove also.
That's great. Man. I love that.
The contract thing was, well, first of all, there was hardly enough work for poor Karen, let alone Alice Garvey. You know, the most of the work is with the kids and with guest stars, as it should be. So there was very little work, and that's why they made me the school teacher, which I really was no more of a friggin' school teacher than the man in the moon. But they made me a school teacher because they wanted me to, you know, have some work and to stick around for a while. So, but what happened was NBC Sports, Merlin was under contract to NBC Sports and blah, 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 and they wanted him to have his own series. So that meant, you know, they sure as heck weren't going to keep me on without him. And then they had let him go, so he did Father Murphy. So that's when Michael called me and said, hey, okay, I'm sorry, Hersh, we're going to kill you.
And Rodimus.
Yeah, they slaughtered both of y'all.
But, you know, what did you think of Little House on the Prairie before you started working on the show? Is it something that was even on your radar?
Well, first of all, is most actors... working actors, and I was very lucky because I worked a lot, and I did a lot more than the couple things on film, but basically I never stopped working in theater. And so when you're working theater and you're rehearsing 24/7, you don't watch TV. The only TV I ever remember watching was Johnny Carson. We just didn't watch TV. We'd watch special events, we'd watch the awards shows. But we didn't watch TV, so there were decades and decades. The whole year I was in India, I sure as heck never saw TV,
sure.
and anywhere else, you know, and then traveling, you just don't. So I sure as heck never watched Little House on the Prairie. Had no idea what it was, absolutely none. A lot of actors just don't do that, and the kind of shows that were around then. I wasn't right for. I was not a Charlie's Angels. I was not a Three's Company. I was not that kind of an actress and not that kind of a looker. I did a lot of character, funny comedy work on stage, but that's not how I was perceived in front of a camera. Almost all the stuff I did in front of the camera was very serious. You know, the drama. The first thing I did that was really good was The Quest, which was that's been on YouTube lately, which was, I just saw it for the first time, and 40 years later, I thought, oh my God, that was something. So I don't know. I didn't think of, I was just thankful because I knew it was a hit show. I knew it was a big show, and I could identify with that time, you know, the rough time, the period. I'm an outdoors person, so I like nature. I liked outside. And of course, as you know, the first role I did was not Alice. It was the sister-in-law of Mike.
Yes.
I was married to his brother. And so and I knew it was a real feat to be able to get that, because it was a good show, wonderful people, you know, real pros, and the cast that they continued to get, the guest cast. And I've often said, I say this when I talk to people, working on that show really ruined me, not ruined me, but spoiled me for most anything else that followed, because that production company was like unbelievable. You know, everyone complains, oh, we worked until 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. Oh, we did this. Oh, they had it so much together, because so much of the people were from Bonanza.
Right.
Everybody was.
I hear the same exact thing from absolutely everybody who I've spoken to.
Yeah.
They just say they look back with such fondness that the production in general, Michael Landon, the way he kind of managed the set and the mm-hmm. people, there was a certain level of a humanitarianism.
That everybody was home for dinner.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's it, Susan. And that is true. And I would look at people and they'd moan, and I'd say, oh, my God, why? Why? And here we had this cast, let alone with children, too, and kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done. They knew what they were. They were totally artistic pros, and everybody. And it was a family. It was a wonderful, wonderful. And you know, it spoiled a lot of it, because that's not the case.
So after the Albert character murdered you, essentially, did you have the
did you have... I never even think I read. I don't even know if I knew that. I probably did, but I completely forgot about it until the last.
Oh, really?
I completely forgotten that. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to know. Did you have the opportunity to keep any of the artifacts from the show? Is there anything that you you kept, and you just kind of as a memento, or who knows, maybe you kept an entire mm-hmm. saddle or something.
Actually, no, it's funny, because there's actually, I can't even think of anything that I would have kept that they would
even
have
a dress or something.
I wanted. The only thing I would have wanted, just for fun's sake, was because, and they wouldn't give it to me because the prop department needs it. But I have a reputation. This is on one of the sites, one of the interviews. I've said, of breaking props is like one of the bloopers is that Michael always kidded me because I didn't eat like Miss Beetle would eat. You know, I didn't eat delicately. I ate when I ate, and maybe I talked with my mouthful. But and also whenever I touch a prop, because I'm a strong, hefty woman, I'd break it. And I remember the water pump, and I'm pumping the water, and all of a sudden it slides off the board.
Oh, my God.
If I had one souvenir, I would like the water pump, I think.
Fun. Well, I know that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, one of the fun things that I like, and it's actually it's my Facebook profile picture now, but I have the video. It's on my reel that starts out with, I think it was the first episode that I did as Alice, where I'm doing the running jump. I'm running. My son just leaves, and then I do running to see how far I can jump.
Oh, yes.
And I lift up my shirt, and I run and I jump. That video, to me, is one of the best memories that I have. Because
really?
It was, and I'm a runner. I've always run. And when I run away, and if I'm mad at Merlin because he won't let me work, and there's a shot of me with David Rose's, you know, music, my music going. So I have such memories that, you know, me running down, that's it. And the other memory that I have that's very important to me, for me, was when speaking of David Rose, is when they did my big episode, The High Cost of Being Right. They actually did a theme for me. And I went into the room where the orchestra was, and David Rose is up there conducting the orchestra, the live orchestra. And I walked in, and here I am, this on my picture up on this big screen, and he's conducting music with me up. And I just went, I've just died and gone to heaven.
Wow.
It's
those are my
wow.
Those are my, you know, it was really special.
It's so frustrating to me that that music is not available, because I drive Mark crazy whenever we record the podcast, because the music is just so, I mean, it's intended to be that way. I guess that's why I love.
But can't you, you can play the Little House theme, can't you?
Yes, you can, but the pieces of music that I love are like the pieces, the Eliza Jane's music and the Laura and Almanzo thing. And it's just like, man, I wish that I could get a hold of that. But I wanted to ask you before I forget, I know that we can't believe everything that we see on the internet, but I came across something a couple of years ago that said something about that there was a time when you were actually considered for the part of Carolyn. Is that like fake news?
Yeah, it's just fake news. I think that was happening because Kara, because the two of us look so much alike, and it's like I was saying, there was hardly enough work on there for Carolyn,
right?
You know, for Karen, let alone bringing in other. I mean, there was Miss Beetle; she was a totally different character, but I just think that. You know, who knows? There was lots of vodka going around on the sets after shooting. But, you know, that would have never in a million years have happened. I mean, in order for that to happen, it would have only happened if Karen wanted to get out of there, you know, and move on. That was the only way that would have ever happened. But I think it flowered because the two of us are very similar in appearance. And also, we're both in the theater, we're both actresses, and, you know, who knows. But no,
what do you think about the current state of fans who are finding the show for the first time? I mean, it must be kind of, I don't know. It's really interesting that you're a part of something that, you know, it ended quite a while ago, but there are people still finding it as brand new. Like in France, it's this new big thing. You guys are like rock stars there. You know, what do you think about that? I mean, you're part of that legacy.
Well, it's fascinating to me because I am not, what can I say? I am the same way I am with theater. I don't do it I'm not altruistic. I am not, bettering that, but I don't do it for that. I do it because I love to pretend, and if I'm getting paid for it, even the better.
I think your travels to India worked on your ego, because you don't seem to have much of one.
I have a healthy ego. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
thank God, I have a healthy ego, and I'm also that's not really true. I can be very egotistical, I'm afraid.
All right. Yeah, hide it well.
But I also know my faults. You know, I know my faults. Doggone it. And that's, you know, I just don't pretend that I'm something that I'm not. The Little House is, I don't know what to say, because it's interesting. Whenever I go, I don't do a lot of these shows. I don't do autograph shows. I don't do this because I have no, that's not my bag. I just don't. I don't get it. It's just not me. So I don't do them. The only reason I've gone to these is because I love to go to places I've not been to before. I love to go into and Keystone and Minnesota and Wisconsin and places like that. And outside of Tucson, you know, places I don't get to go to, I've loved. And I also like seeing the people that I worked with 40 years ago.
Of course.
Because I'm very fond of everybody there. And then you meet the fans.
The wackos.
And
the bonnet.
Well, what? Hey, wait a minute. Who are you recording this for?
The wackos I'm recording it for. But you know, when I watch Little House on the Prairie, I can, you know, this is why I don't consider myself a wacko. I can see the humor in it. I can see the, for what it, you know, for what it is, and I enjoy it wholeheartedly. It's just some people take it real seriously.
Oh, well, I think Mark and I have offended so many people on the podcast because we pick at it.
You two are hysterical, because what I was going to say, I mean, this is that I go in with that attitude because it's not just Little House. It's the same with people, you know, thinking they own soap opera stars when they sit on the street.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It to me, it saddens me. It makes me sad. I say, get a life, get a life. But then all of a sudden, you'll meet somebody that'll come up and are sincerely and truthfully, and it does do them good. The good values. And they, of course, they all say it's Christian, not knowing that Michael was Jewish as could be.
So am I. Right? I'm a Jew who watches it.
Wait, Mark, yes.
I'm the stereotypical Long Island Jew, you know.
I'll never forget that. The first one I went to was in Tucson, outside of Tucson, in the, you know, what's the name? Tombstone. And we were sitting in a panel, and they were going on and on about Christian this and Christian this and Christian that. And finally, somebody on the panel said, "You do realize that Michael was not Christian."
Thank you.
And just silent. I said, "Oh my!" And
the Jews in Hollywood, you know.
So
that's right. Yeah.
Going back to your original question about why it still means so much is there isn't. You know, people keep saying, "Oh, but it's nothing like Little House on the Hill, Little House, blah, blah." Well, you know what? There is. It's just that it's not. If you watch any of the shows, the new ones, not any of them, but there are shows that are there that are still dealing with things with good value systems, with good ethics, but they're in today's modern world. And it's a shame that they're not seeing those. You know, it's a shame right. that they're not getting. That they are there, but I think that's the main thing is that unfortunately, it's still good stuff and it's still needed.
Yeah, you couldn't make Little House on the Prairie now. It would be too expensive, and two, I feel as though it really did kind of create its own ecosystem within the 70s. I mean, it really doesn't. Aside from the hairstyles here and there, there's really no representation of it. The time that it was made,
right? You know?
But Michael right. Landon's hair, yeah. it's obvious.
Well, and the reason why it's so endearing, as Mark and I have talked on the podcast before, or I should say, I have. For me, the reason why it is so special, I'm not a freak. I go to work. I'm a case manager for veterans and homeless people, or whatever.
Good.
Yeah, I love it. I'm absolutely.
I can use you here.
I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed with that work. It's awesome. But when I was a child growing up, and I lived in kind of a scary household, it was for a lot of people, it was 45 minutes minus the commercials or including the commercials, whatever, of escapism. Wow. There's a dad that's patient and kind, and there's a mom that's this and that. And when you weren't growing up in the middle of that, which I was not, it was escapism. And so even though I don't use it to escape now, I have evolved, but it still brings back that warm, fuzzy. And of course, foundationally, the values of Little House, regardless of how crazy things get and people with purple hair and whatever, those foundational
things. Purple hair
things.
In the 70s, though.
Oh, okay, but you know what I mean.
No, but yeah, I think it represents all of that. I think that it's a very important show. But at the same time, you know, I think it is really great that people do find it now and they have, you know, a new audience. You know, a new audience of people who aren't from here, people who are fascinated with 19th century United States type of history, even though it's not, I wouldn't say the show is historically 100% accurate.
Well,
it's,
I was just going to say, especially in the last, within the last year, and the way they treated the Indians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Or the American natives, I should say. Yeah. But I think, Susan, what you said is, I think, to me, that excites me more than anything. It can be an escape, and it's a healthy escapism.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
On TV now that I just get so upset about, and you know I'm basically a pretty liberal person, but I just the sensationalized drama, horror, the torture, the killings, the rapes, the this, the that. It just drives me mad. And I'm trying to, I don't know what the kids are watching today. I don't know, but I hope they are. And it's not just this country. You see, you realize we're still big, big, big all over the world. And so, I don't know. I hope it's sad. I think it's a good thing. Whatever it is, I do think it's certainly not a bad thing, even if it's not historically.
Right.
Right. Of course.
And I think it underscores the hunger for family, whether it's Little House, whether it's the Waltons.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I was just watching your performance on the Waltons, Nancy's Mom, and your hair looked fabulous. I loved you in that. In that 1930s look, you were gorgeous. Oh, you're still gorgeous.
Can I tell you about that real quickly?
Sure.
The Waltons one you're talking about? The actress that played my daughter, I didn't know it at the time, but years later, her mother is an actress that I worked with in the theater named Barbara Ray, who actually was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actress. And that was her daughter, which I didn't realize until...
oh, wow.
15 years later that she played my daughter. Yeah, lovely.
Wow, that's a small world.
Yeah, it is. It was fascinating. Anyway, go ahead.
Well Herschel, I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what days are you going to be at Walnut Grove at the reunion? Like, is there a particular reunion day?
We're all contracted to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. We leave Sunday.
Oh, wow.
I think there's Sunday morning. Yeah. So we get in there sometime Thursday. We fly out of L.A. I think most everybody's flying out of L.A. or Charlotte may be flying out of San Francisco. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And Rodimus is coming in, too, which is very exciting. I was surprised to hear that. So he's going to be in L.A.
I think it's pretty cool. This is going to be a very big reunion. And sadly, this year we did lose Scotty McGregor.
Oh.
And, you know, it's very sad that we...
She would not have come anyway. She would have nothing to do with us. But I was very close to Scotty. I visited her many times in the home. And now I visit, by the way, I'm very close to Bobby Bull, Dick Bull's wife.
Oh.
She lives at the actor's home, and I see her often.
And you're still out in L.A., right?
Yeah.
I love L.A. L.A. is one of my favorite areas. You know, I haven't been back in a couple of years, but I have a lot of fun. I lived there for a short amount of time, and it's just a great place. And you have In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger is the best.
I've never been there because I always say there's only three fat people in Hollywood and they're in 8-hour shifts and I just didn't want to participate in that. So I've never been to California. You
know, when you say LA, you cannot put LA in anything because LA really is like a dozen, 20 different cities, different towns, different villages. Every time you turn a corner, every time you go a half a mile or a mile, you're into a different village,
wow.
A different country, because it really is like just on a grander scale than what New York City used to be.
Absolutely.
And it's a theater town, too, and don't let anyone ever tell you anything different. There's more good theater going around here, let alone and art and music. I mean, it's. I love L.A. I just can't afford, as most people can't. And that's along with the 58,000 homeless. You just can't afford to live. That's the only trouble. You know, it's just too hard to live here. But it's a great, great, great city.
But I always loved L.A. And I lived in a really bad area of L.A. and I still loved it. I felt like as long as there's a palm tree.
What do you consider the bad L.A. area? Where?
You know, do you know where Guitar Center is? The famous Guitar Center.
Oh, or
I used to live two blocks away from the first Scientology building.
Oh,
wow.
I can dig up the exact address. I'm sorry, say that again?
The one that's right in Hollywood, on Franklin?
Hollywood? Yes.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, we used to go to the roof where, you know, there was like a hot tub and everything, and we'd watch the, you know, hookers get into a fight with their pimps. And, you know, it was not a great area. It was not a great area.
Whoa.
But we had a lot of fun. You know, it was, but I still felt like, oh, wow, there's palm trees everywhere. And I'm driving through Compton. You know, I have no idea where I am. And as soon as I say I'm from New York, people leave you alone. They think you're super tough.
Of course.
At least, you know, a couple
know
years
about
ago.
You, do they, Mark?
Oh, yeah. They don't know I'm Jewish. You know, it's like they don't know that they can just beat me up and take my keys. But
well, when they hear I'm from Texas, they think I live on a ranch and ride horses. So there's those little, yeah, there's those little things. So you're talking about theater and television. And so, Hersha, I'm curious, because I've always just been so in awe of people that do theater. I just think, how do you do that? How do you memorize all those lines? And that, do you prefer theater over television, or benefits to both, or?
I love them both for different reasons. And as far as the memorization, you know, that all has to do with what you want to memorize. I mean, everybody, especially nowadays, they don't memorize as much as they used to, because they have it on their phone, and you know, you ask somebody their phone number, and half the time they don't remember because they don't
exactly,
you know, they don't know it.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know my daughter's phone number. I have no idea.
I know. Makes me so mad. I have to go out of my way because something happens to me, and I'm always losing my phone. For my at least my son's phone number, I should try to memorize. And I've been trying to memorize it now for 20 years or 30 years. And I've got the first six, but I still have three or four more numbers to go. But what was the question?
I was asking about your preference in theater and you're going to get feedback immediately, as opposed to sitting around a movie set half the day.
What I liked best about film is that it is just strictly make believe and pretending. At least for me, I could never. You know, when the old time, this is my good side, this is my good side. Oh, put the camera over there, or you better light me here. It just drives me crazy when actors or actresses think about that. I said, just do your freaking job. That's their job. That's their job. That's not your job. Your job is to do that, and then, you know, and that's another reason why you're spoiled with Little House people, because they all knew that. That production company all knew that. You didn't have to worry about the best side of your ankle.
The well-oiled machine.
Yeah. So it was nice to be able to just pretend. Whereas in theater, when you start, I mean, and I've been doing it since I was 14, professionally since I was 18.
Wow.
You have to have training to use your whole instrument in order to get to the 600 people, the 300 people, the 3,000 people.
Right.
You have to be able to do that. That's training, and that's a whole different bag. You still have to have that same, hopefully, imagination and the love of using that imagination and not being afraid. You still have to have that, but you also have to be able to get it out there.
Oh, I just can't even imagine.
I love them both for different reasons. I love the money in front of the camera.
Of course. Well, Hersha, I want to thank you so much. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and speak with us.
It's been fun, you guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And I wish you the best of luck in Walnut Grove, the real Walnut Grove.
Okay.
And, hopefully it's a very successful and a fun event.
The next time you guys got to be there.
I know. I was just going to say, hopefully the next time. If you go, that we'll be there. I can shake your hand, and I'm a Texan, so I hug a neck. I don't just shake.
Okay. Well, you know, next time, in fact, what you could do, if you haven't already spoken to everyone, is why couldn't you do a podcast from there? Well, you've got to be, you know?
We've talked about that. How amazing would that be to be able to sit down with a group of the actors and go, let's chat.
Yeah, that would be great fun. You should think about doing that. If you guys can do that, just do a podcast from there.
Yeah, things like that are a little bit in the works, but I really do wish I had the opportunity to physically be there.
You gotta do it.
Yep, absolutely. But Hersha, again, thank you so much. And I'll keep in touch with you and send you a link as soon as this goes live.
Thank you.